So, is my wife? There she is here. So my wife Lisa, I'm going to put her on the spot over there. We got married relatively young, and as the years go by, I'm more convinced that we were kids. To be honest, when we got married, we were kids. Like, I do think, and some of you in this room were there, like, where was the responsible adult in the room? Because I wasn't even allowed to get the engagement. We got engaged when we were 19. My dad had to come with me to get the engagement ring because the jeweller wouldn't sell it to me. Without someone, I think with a decent credit score, I think was, or with a credit score, more at. And our first, I remember our first big shop in Tesco, where we felt very grown up, got home, and then didn't even enter our mind that we had to buy things like bin liners or washing up liquid. Like, literally just did not even enter our mind at all. And then a staple of culinary delight in our first couple of years, we thought was a cut above. Looking back at it, I don't know, it really was, I don't know how we survived. Sausages, chopped tomatoes and pasta. Like, literally, that was what we ate. And I try and resurrect it now and again and introduce it, and I get shouted down that, no, we're not going anywhere near that ever again. And then a few years in, then we had, obviously, I remember it clearly, sitting in the front room talking about, well, should we start a family and have a try for a child? And it was a bit of a, it wasn't a shrug of the shoulders, but it was a, yeah, yeah, all right, let's try. Like, not 100%. And then with Noah, our firstborn, I again remember vividly, so we're in the hospital, Lisa's ready to go, bags are packed to leave the hospital to go home. And I literally pick him up from the cot and just start walking out of the hospital. And there's a midwife running down the corridor, trying to stop me, saying, what are you doing? We need to see the car seat. You need to put him in a car seat to get out of the hospital. You can't just walk him out in your arms. And then you get home and you realise that literally, yeah, they've let you go home with a baby, and it's you and your wife and this baby that's there, and there's no one else. And but it's turned out all right. And the reason why, hopefully, is obvious that we were far away from having it all together, from having our stuff sorted out, and from having all of our ducks in a row. But we still said yes to one another. We still said yes to each other to get married and to do life together. And we said yes to having a baby. And even when we weren't, completely sure how it would turn out. And I think that its crux is kind of what I want to share today, is that we don't have to have it all together to say yes to God. We don't have to have it all perfectly lined up to say, as we've been looking the last few weeks, here I am, focused on your will for my life, ready for your direction. As Hazel shared, is what we don't have to have it all together to run into his arms and to run to our Father. And it can be really tricky, certainly in today's age, of what we put up on social media, which in a large part, yeah, there's the few honest posts, but in a large part, it's highlights. And we can just constantly fall into the trap of, in effect, comparing our backstage to people's showreels and what they choose to share to wider groups and to the public. And we can even do it a little bit on a Sunday here at church, where we can look around and think, this group of people have it together. This is a solid, good bunch of people. And I can testify that you are a solid, good bunch of people. And I know a number of you very, very well. And I've seen you on your good days. And I'm trying really hard not to catch anyone's eye here. I've seen you on your good days. And I've seen your new not so good days. And we can be honest, friends. We don't have it all together every day, 100% of the time. We all fall short of the glory of God, as Paul said, not just as a one-off, but daily we fall short. But we have Jesus, who is before all things and who holds all things together. Hallelujah. So I don't want anyone in here sort of look around. No, you are in a good group. You are in a good group of people. But all fall short of the glory of God. And as we've been looking at this Here I Am series, and we've looked at, over the few weeks, flawed individuals like Abraham and Jacob, and we turn now to Moses, who at the point that we read in Exodus chapter 3 of the burning bush, of him saying, Hineni, of him saying, Here I am. He is far from having it all together. He is far from having it all together. But he still says, Hineni. He still says, Here I am. You know, at this point in Moses' life, from what we can read in the account in Exodus, and also what we read in the book of Acts from the first recorded martyr of the Christian faith, Stephen, who talks through and gives more detail about Moses' life, we can really quite rationally and clearly understand sort of the life to a degree that Moses had led and had been experienced of. You know, this was a guy who, before he says, Here I am, at that burning bush, he's a murderer. And it wasn't an act, some films and artwork can kind of illustrate this was an accidental murder of a struggle between Moses and the Egyptian slave driver. No, it was premeditated murder. We read in Exodus that Moses looks around to make sure no one's watching and then goes and strikes the Egyptian. This was premeditated murder. He was a murderer. He was estranged. He had been away for decades from everything that he kind of grew up in, everything that he really knew, all of the people that he had grown up with. And even in that, in his early life, it would have been confusing for him. His adopted mother, Pharaoh's daughter, Stephen records, he grew in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. But as a young child, his kind of wet nurse, if you will, his sort of main point of contact would have been his biological mother, who had been asked to care for him. And of course, she would have sung Hebrew lullabies to him. That would have been imparted first and foremost in her mind. I don't want my boy to lose who he truly is. And these two worldviews would have not nicely coalesced together. They would have conflicted. They would have clashed. Being born in bondage, in slavery, a Hebrew slave. But in his reality, in his lived experience, would have been growing up in the elite, in the royal household of Egypt. Must have been confusing for him, and continued to be. There would have been an element of frustration in just how his life had turned out. He had spent a few decades in the wilderness with the people under his father-in-law Jethro, and we read that he was still tending the flocks of Jethro. He was still within that wider family unit, coming under that authority, if you will. He wasn't, in essence, his own man. He was still under his father-in-law and his authority and his wealth and his scope. And the amount of time that he would have had to wander tending the flocks with only his own thoughts, perhaps, to grapple with. These feelings of confusion, of estrangement, of frustration, of guilt. He was lost. But still, when he meets that burning bush and he hears that voice, being far away from having it all together, Moses says, Here I am. And I think as Mary-Anne mentioned as well, you know, in element, he came as he was. I hear you, Lord. You know everything that's gone before. I've got all of these thoughts. But here I am. Came as he was. And what's really interesting is that he says, here I am. He says, hineni, which we've looked at, which is, you know, yes, I'm totally available, totally ready to hear your direction, hear your will. He says that. He says, hineni. But then for a chapter and a half in the Bible, he goes through a list of reasons, a list of objections why he's not the man for the job. He goes through a whole range of reasons and objections why he shouldn't be being called upon or being part of what God has in store. I'm not worthy. Who am I? They won't listen to me. They won't take me seriously. I can't speak very well. Lastly, he said, Lord, does anyone but me? Is there anybody else? And there's something in this that I think is important. That we, each of us, maybe can have to mind 50 reasons, 50 objections of why we can't say, here I am. Why maybe even we feel we can't run into his arms. There may be things that we are going through. It may be actually that just getting here on a Sunday morning is actually a massive barrier and a massive obstacle and a massive trial. And God sees that. Just being here, perhaps, is a demonstration of here I am. It may be really hard, really difficult, but I know it's where I should be. It's where I should be. And God sees that. And so when we are talking about declaring here I am and talking about availability and talking about serving and talking about God, honouring God in the direction he's got for our life, and we say, here I am, hineni as a church, and it may stick in your throat. It may really trouble your heart. And your mind thinking, well, you don't know what my week's been like. You don't know what place I'm in. You don't know what just getting out of bed in the morning is for me. And as Moses demonstrates, God has a desire to hear that. To hear that. To not just brush this under the carpet, but to talk to him. Don't just feel you can just get swept up in a corporate movement here, if you will, which may last for 24 hours, but it's not sustainable. Talk to him. Talk to your Father. Lay these reasons that come to your mind. Lay these objections at his feet, as Moses did. Talk to him. But then the most important, is the only important thing really, is that we listen to what he has to say after, as Moses did. Yes, we get it off our chest. Yes, we lay it at his feet. Yes, we don't brush it under the carpet. Yes, we share openly and honestly with our Father in heaven. But it is critical, it is crucial we then listen to what he has to say. Because if I'm honest, what we see in his response to Moses isn't necessarily a pep talk. It's not lifting Moses up. It's exalting him, God. It's not giving sort of reasons why in terms of reminding Moses how wonderful he is or what's in Moses. But it's reminding Moses of who he, God is. And I just, this morning, just a sense of that's just what the Lord wants to do this morning. Reminding you, maybe sharing with you for the first time, who he is. And to let that break you, to mold you, to be transformed by it, to be guided, encouraged, felt loved and known by that truth and by those truths of who God is. So that we can then in response to that say, here I am. That's what the burning bush encounter is really about. It's not about the raising up of Moses. It's the raising up of God. It's God's glory and exaltation. Because in response to Moses, God was really clear in his responses. Moses saying, I'm not worthy, I can't do it, I'm not capable. God's first response is, well, you're not alone. You're not alone. I am with you. They won't listen to me. I wouldn't know what to say. What do I even call you? God says, I am who I am. I am. When you search for that, when you try and research the richness of that phrase, you can read books and books about that. I am. I am unchangeable. I am with you. I am in all things. I think the most rich and wonderful way that I find it expressed is I am becoming. I am whatever is lacking, whatever is good and whatever is lacking, whatever you need that is good, I am. I am grace. I am love. I am majesty. I am holy. I am provision. I am guidance. Whatever you need that is good, whatever is lacking, God says, I am. I am. Moses is saying, you know, who I can't speak very well. God's response, who gave you speech? Who is in control here? Who has his hand on the world, on situations? Who has and will turn things to good. May this morning the Lord, in a way that is personal to a degree, powerful, encouraging, provocative, and needed for each and every one of us, remind us this morning of who he is. Of who he is. Because ultimately, this response from God is a call to look to him, to seek his face. Of really saying to Moses, stop looking at yourself. I say that in love. Stop looking at yourself. And look to him. Stop seeking favor from anywhere else and seek his face. Seek him, look to him. Isaiah records in chapter 40, verse 31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let's revel in that certainty this morning. You will. It's not you should or you could or you may or you might. You will renew your strength when you set your hope in him. When you seek and look at his face, you will renew your strength. You will soar. You will walk and not grow weary. You will run and not grow faint. That's a promise from our Father in heaven. Let's invite the band up. We've got a good amount of time just to respond. And I think just one really clear direction for the next few moments. Yes, we want to be raised. God raises his name, is exalted. Yes, he calls us to seek him, to look upon him, to set our hope on him. And he promises that we will find strength. We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint. But just for the next few moments, just as the band plays, let's model Moses' honesty in laying at God's feet. Any reasons, any objections that are really tying us up to wholeheartedly say, here I am, or even just to be able to run into his arms. Just lay them down and crucially listen to the Father. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful and that you desire a real relationship with all of us. Not one based on separation or distance or keeping us apart, but on intimacy and on personal relationship. Lord, I just pray for all of us here that either becomes a deeper, richer reality for some, or even just a fresh experience for others, of a Father in heaven who desires a real relationship with each and every one of his children. May we feel able to share and to just be honest with our Father in heaven. And may we have an open heart and open ears to hear your response. To see you lifted up, to see you exalted, to see you glorified more and more in our lives and in the lives of those that we meet. So Lord, I just pray now, just meet each and every one here this morning. May they encounter, as I have in others, a real living Father in heaven who loves his children.